fuck.
This is Pure Decking for Thursday. I don't know what day it is. Oh, right. It's Blaze It 420 day.
20th of the 4th, you backwards fucks.
Nobody else does the wrong way.
Here's the right way.
So, anyways, this is the show about stuff that interests me, like how Cyberpunk the World is getting information security and really, really bad 420 jokes.
Smoke weed every day.
Tonight.
So, anyways, I'm Warps. Obviously, tonight we have RU. RU, what are you
doing? Nothing. Nothing.
Ah. And we also have Suave.
Who's only drinking water today.
You know, this might be the first sober Galaxy 15 show in a very long time. Nobody's drinking.
Well, I did have a beer earlier, so that counts.
You know what I was drinking up until I just now finished it off? MRE coffee.
Okay. Why?
I had some and wanted to try it.
How was it?
Better than most of the shitty instant coffees, surprisingly.
Did you make it recon style? With Coke?
No.
Instead of water?
No, I did not, but that actually sounds like a really good idea.
No, it's not. It's not. It's only if you intend on impersonating Michael J. Fox at a dress-up party. I puked and had diarrhea for a day, and I couldn't stop shaking.
You absolutely positively need to get the most amount of caffeine into your body.
So when you need an excuse to call into work.
I did this years ago, you know, when we were listening to a show where they were doing crazy shit like this, and they went, hey, how to increase your, like, fucking energy levels for the morning run. Okay.
No, don't do it. We're inducing binging and purging. That way it's easier for you, you know, lose weight.
I was on this whole fucking health kick, too. You know, I was running, I was, you know, hiking and shit. They came up with this idea. I couldn't. No.
You see, I'm trying to get into hiking and backpacking a little bit here now, and hence why I had some, you know, parts of some of these MREs. And so it's like, fuck it, why not? Let's try this. And, you know, it's like I said, it actually was not terrible. Unlike like the Nescafe little things you get, those things are just bad. I don't know if anybody else, you do instant coffees, but that's just, you know, you get one of those for a camping trip and you go to make it, it'll wake you up, but it's because it tastes terrible.
Yeah, I got addicted to pure black coffee years ago, and I can't drink instant anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's certainly not real coffee, but it's it wasn't bad, you know. I mean, it wasn't good. It wasn't like, you know, actually running a good pot of coffee, you know what I mean? But
if you were cold, you'd been out in the bush for 2 weeks and that was your only thing, you would love that coffee.
Oh, it would taste amazing.
Yep.
But it was coffee flavored, kind of. So, you know, not nearly as strong.
I look at MREs like I look at salad. When the end of the world comes, then it's time. But up until then, no.
Well, you know, just trying different things out, seeing how well it works for a backpacking trip. And, you know, it's better to try it out at home, where if it's going to give you horrible diarrhea, you're not out in the woods cold and, you know, trying not to shit in your tent. So,
man, that's so unlike a tabletop player. I think you'd just be rolling for it, man.
Well, you know, I tried taking the D20 out in the woods, but the trees didn't respect it when I, you know, rolled a natural 20 on chopping wood. You know, like Minecraft, it would just show up. But no. No, the tree just looks at you like, what the fuck, dude? You need an axe. then you realize you're hallucinating and not actually outside at all. Anyways,
and your mom's best vase will never be the same again.
So, I don't know. I mean, Suave, I imagine up where you are, there's, you know, a lot of that, like, hiking, backpacking kind of stuff happens. At least, you know.
Like, I'm right next to a national park, and yeah, there's tons of people going out there and hiking around, but it's kind of a different experience because there's no trees. Like, we're on native prairie. Like, there's badlands and stuff like that, but no trees.
So how many people don't know what they're doing and have to be, you know, rescued every year?
Oh, multiple times a year. That's a pretty common thing. People just don't understand how much water they need to take with them.
I would ask, are you as well? Because I know where he lives has got, you know, people who do that. But I know the answer there is very different, so I don't know that we even need to discuss, you know. Nobody goes out there to rescue them.
Do you meet people as you're walking along the trail sometimes?
Yeah.
I shit myself, dude. When I see other people out there, I'm hiding, man. Because there's only two reasons to be out there. One, you're burying a body, and two, you just don't be out there. I get really nervous.
I'm not going to pretend I don't have my carry gun on me when I'm out on the trails. But,
your answer to everything, isn't it? Kill it.
American?
I'm fat. I can't hide. what the fuck am I going to do? Climb a damn tree? You'll see a fat guy in a tree. There's not a foliage was not designed to conceal me.
Oh, and we have Madman. Madman, what are you drinking?
Newcastle Brown Ale.
Okay, you are actually having alcohol. We have yet to have an entirely sober show. Awesome.
Oh, why? Are you not drinking?
I'm actually completely out at the moment. I realize that when I get home, it's like, oh fuck, I don't have any bourbon. I don't have any rum. I don't have anything. Fuck. All right, fine. I'll fucking drink MRE coffee. That's all I got in the house. What the hell?
MRE coffee?
You heard me.
You're a coffee snob. How the fuck do you not have coffee?
I wanted to see how bad it really was.
Okay. How bad is MRE coffee?
It's better than that Nescafe crap.
Okay.
That's right, Nescafe. We will keep saying your brand name until you pass the stop.
That's
Nescafe.
Damn right. No, fuck it. I don't know. Well, I would be a sellout if they offered me a sufficient amount of money.
Oh, God. There's not enough. There's enough money that I would probably blow a man. It's going to be a lot of zeros, but people that say they don't have a price haven't been offered the right price.
Madman, we had this discussion last week. This show is recorded. You can't just go around saying your price.
I didn't say what my price was. I said I had a lot of zeros at the end of it.
You're right, yep. But he didn't say where the decimal point was.
Oh, no, I'm not going to fall for that more than once.
Will you take a post-dated check?
Oh, God, no. That's hard to prosecute. And if it's checked, it's going to be certified.
I would ask Madman the story, but I'm afraid it would start this one time at the park. So we're just going to move along. The first article I have for the lead story tonight is from technologyreview.com. And it's interesting. Titled "The Dark Secret at the Heart of AI." Because, you know, there's a dark secret in something we just invented last week. We've had it for a couple of years, but yeah, dark secret. It's a racist joke. That's what it is. So wait a minute. Are we telling the AI they're black?
No, if it's the article, I think it is. Isn't AI racist or homophobic or something?
No, this is a little different. Last year, a self-driving car was released on the quiet roads of Mammoth County, New Jersey. Or Monmouth County, New Jersey. The experimental vehicle developed by researchers at NVIDIA did not look different from other autonomous vehicles, but it was unlike anything demonstrated by Google, Tesla, or GM, and that it showed the rising power of artificial intelligence. The car did not follow a single instruction provided by an engineer or a programmer. Instead, it relied entirely on an algorithm that had taught itself to drive by watching a human do it. So they fed all the data, all the telemetry data, from somebody driving a car to the AI, and the AI learned to drive. I forgot to throw the link in the IRC. One moment. My bad. There we go. Getting a car to drive this way is an impressive feat, but it's also a bit unsettling, since it isn't completely clear how the car makes its decisions. Information from the vehicle sensors goes straight into a huge network of artificial neurons that process the data, then deliver the commands required to operate the steering wheel, brakes, and other systems. The result seems to match the response you'd expect from a human driver. But what if one day it did something unexpected, such as crashing into a tree or sitting at a green light? As things stand now, it would be difficult to figure out why. The system is so complicated, even the engineers who designed it would struggle to isolate the reason for any single action. And you can't just ask it, because there's no obvious way to design such a system so that it could always explain why it did what it did. The mysterious mind of this vehicle points to a looming issue with artificial intelligence. The car's AI technology, known as deep learning, has proved very powerful at solving problems in recent years, and it has been widely deployed for tasks like image captioning, voice recognition, and language translation. There is now hope that the same techniques will be able to diagnose deadly diseases, make multi-million dollar trading deals, and do countless other things to transform whole industries. But this won't happen, or it shouldn't happen, unless we find a way to make technologies like deep learning more understandable to their creators and accountable to their users. Otherwise, it'll be hard to predict when failures might occur, and inevitably that they will. So the car is considered still experimental. Mathematical models are being used to help determine who makes parole, who's employed for a loan, who gets approved for a job. If you could get access to these models, it would be possible to understand their reasoning. But banks, the military, employers, and others are now turning to attention to more complex machine learning approaches that could make automated decision-making altogether inscrutable. Deep learning, the most common of these approaches, represents a fundamentally different way to program computers. It's a problem that's already relevant, and it's going to be much more relevant in the future, said Tommy Jackala, a professor at MIT who works on the applications of machine learning. Whether it's an investment decision or a medical decision or maybe a military decision, you don't want to rely on the black box method. So to sum up the article, what it really comes down to is the people putting these things together don't actually fully understand how they work. It's like they've got these algorithms and they're feeding it into these networks of processors, and they call them artificial neurons. And you know, so once this deep learning exists, they then teach the machine by feeding it information until it learns the expected responses. And, you know, it seems to work, but because it's so alien to how you would normally build automation in systems, they don't really understand it all that well yet.
Like, you know, when you're working with neural networks, it's not like it's generating code or anything like that. There's not exactly anything you can really read. Like, you can still see the activity in the neural network, but, like, actually figuring out what all of that means, that's not a easy task. But I don't think this is really surprising to anybody.
No.
Like, heck, even just, like, large software projects, there's no single person who really knows everything that's going on. Like, it's impossible. There's just far too much code. Like, there's just, like, you think there's one guy who, like, knows all of Windows code or something? Like, no, of course not.
Apparently a program called Deep Dream that they fed a bunch of images into, and they keep getting, they've got a bunch of them in the article here. They're creepy looking.
Oh, so is that Google thing that they've got? They did it to simulate dreams or something.
Yeah, it's like this AI thing, and it's processing images, and they always seem to come out rather Cthulian.
I'll be interested when this thing fucking becomes sentient, rips a human's head off in it, trying to read its code.
But that's the thing, right? Is like, if you're going to take one of these deep learning machines and attach it to a tank instead of a car, I mean, it's going to be killing people. That's what you build it for. So
imagine sticking it inside one of those DARPA fucking robots.
DARPA's funding the damn thing.
Wow.
So that's the question, right? I mean, if you don't understand, you know, at a really good level how this machine works and how it makes decisions, is it even ethical to plug one of these AIs into something that could actually, I don't know, kill someone?
Depends on what we're talking about. A car, after it has a record safer than a human, yes. Because it's going to fuck up. We will concede that it's going to fuck up. But we'll have stats showing it's going to fuck up less often than you are. And we don't know why you fucked up. Everyone knows it's illegal to drink and drive. Everyone knows it's fucking stupid. You did it.
Hell, they use...
How the fuck you explain that?
Like, fuck, they put, like, bombs on dogs and sent them under tanks and stuff like that in World War II.
Oh, yeah,
that's true.
They didn't know what was going on in the dog's head. Like, there was always that possibility the dog would get scared and run back
Ball!
To its owner or something.
Ball!
So, you know, I don't see it as anything different than that. But in this case, we actually have... I'm pretty sure we have a lot more control over what kind of behavior you're going to get.
Well,
even with, like, neural networks today...
No, that's the
today,
point, is maybe we don't.
Oh, yeah,
you
like...
You don't understand
how
people work.
But I'm sure, like, you know, I suppose we could run into, like, one of those, like, RoboCop-type scenarios with the... Oh, what was it? The Big Mech... Like RoboCop 2.0 guy. Yeah, Ed.
Stick it Ed out. That's why you don't give it guns. We're talking about a car here. I'm not suggesting we stick this in an Abrams.
Yeah. Well, see, I kind of was. That's the thing.
Well, I just
guarantee
see
they're
going to,
like, start out with, like...
screaming.
Oh, God. You know, I wouldn't, you know, put it entirely past them. Like, psychological warfare is... definitely a thing. How creepy could you make a robot? Like, think of Big Dog and then, like, try
oh,
to
no.
make it super terrifying.
If you want to make it creepy, you don't go Ed. Because Ed was neat. Ed might be intimidating. If you go creepy, you want to go the near human appearance.
Yeah, doll face robot.
Yeah. Because you're going to go for the we're trying to get human, but we're going to fail intentionally, and that's just going to be so fucking creepy. Humans have a natural aversion to that.
Well, there is that. You could also go for that squid thing from The Matrix. I mean, one of those coming at you would be pretty scary. But, I mean, in all seriousness here, I mean, they have functioning AI based on deep learning, and they're flat out saying they don't really know how it works.
Well, I feel like that's also bad reporting. Like, they know how it works. Like, they created the system.
Oh, sure. They're feeding data into a system.
They don't know which line of code is doing what, but they know what it's doing, and they know the process by which it got to that solution.
Well, no, that's the thing. They're not certain that they know how it got to that solution. They know the data they're giving it. They know the code it has. And they know what it is supposed to be doing is building statistical models and building, you know, programmed response. But it's all in the functioning of the system. It's all developing its database and then running. They don't have great visibility into how it's operating once it's gotten to that point.
Yeah.
That's what I think it should look like.
Oh, dear God, what do we have?
You know, to me, just kind of like... You're moving a little bit far away from, like, computer science and more into psychology when you start getting into neural networks.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, things get a little bit more fuzzy, but I think you can still have an understanding of what's going on. You just it's never going to be as clear cut as just a crisp line of code.
You can have a base knowledge of what you think it'll do, but you can never ever truly understand what it's about to do. If it's true AI. It's...
Yeah, but that could be said for anything that's in control of weapons right now.
Well, I'm just talking about the idea, like, using psychology and things like that and taking it back to what we understand about humans. Like, we can predict within a margin of error what somebody will do day to day. You know, it's profiling, things like that. But you'll never truly understand what they do and why
oh,
they
yeah.
do it.
The way I see it, like, you just you start small and you get a sample size, you know, like you start putting them in, like, maybe things that won't be able to go murder people and see how they behave and if they actually do what they're supposed to do without having crazy, you know, malfunctions and stuff, and work your way up. Like, I'm sure they're not going to be like, oh, hey, cool, we got this neural network put together, let's put it on our nuclear subs. That's probably not going to happen.
No, that's a fair point that, you know, we're going to want to build behavior baselines for these things, because I would imagine that even though we may not understand entirely, you know, what's going on, what node is what running what line of code, they're still machines, which means they're still ultimately deterministic. So if I take two of these NVIDIA neural networks and feed them both the exact same data, I should get the same response out of both of them. That's what you would expect, right?
Until the quantum chip comes out, but yes. We stick a quantum computer in this and start actually moving towards AI?
Well, that's entirely possible, but I don't know. It's possible that they could do it with quantum, because then, I mean, when you get to quantum, the machine's no longer deterministic. It would understand the concept of maybe, I think.
Yeah, there's both yes, no, and a third option.
So, anyways,
yeah, I don't think they should hold up just because the programmers aren't sure what to do. I think you should just let the car drive around. Once it has a good enough record, it's like, okay, you're better than a human. We don't know what they're doing. Mass produce the fucker.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too, is once you, because it is a computer, once you get one that behaves in a reliable manner, you get it trained up, so to speak, you can Xerox it, right? I mean, you can photocopy it, you can image the drive and mass produce them and put it out and hope to God that nobody ever showed it to Terminator 2.
And then when one car sees the other car and recognizes itself in that car, yeah.
We're not going to have any majors, dude. It's not going to be a major.
That's all we need is our vehicles to have existential crisis.
That's what I'm thinking, is that the traffic light just breaks down, you know? It sees itself.
What is my life?
I'm not. Yeah, what is my purpose?
You get butter. Yeah.
And then it tears its own radiator out.
Your purpose is to take me from point A to point B, or bring me a fucking burrito.
Oh my god.
That's its purpose. Let's not overcomplicate this. And if the thing starts thinking I have a crappy purpose, you just look at it. An anchor is not demeaned by being an anchor. You are not demeaned by being you. Be the best fucking you can be. Go to Qdoba. Give me a fucking burrito. Be back here in 15 minutes.
So here's the thing, though. AI, I mean, especially of this kind, where we're building neural nets and feeding it data and letting it do deep learning, is it's not going to have the same hang-ups as a human. It may not care that it, you know, its purpose is determined for it. Hell, I know a lot of people would probably be really, really happy if somebody said, your job is to get butter. That's what you do.
Oh,
then
yeah.
They don't have to think about it anymore.
Asian countries won't work wonderfully once you accept your role, dude.
So,
I'm just going to think, if they put this in, like, sex bots and shit, is your sex bot going to start judging you because you're a piece of shit?
That's just it. I don't think it would.
I think it's going to figure out a way to get you to climax faster, though.
Well, I don't
on
think
the, on that
have...
note, Madman, I'm out for a minute. That's just, yeah, you got, yeah.
He's probably not wrong.
But that's the thing, right, is, I mean, the AI is going to have a completely set, if you could even call them values, because it's not going to be operating at the same level at least these current ones, they're not operating at the same level as people. It almost sounds like they're operating at levels of like insects, right? But you know, it learned, you know, monkey see, monkey do is what they describe. But you know, you got to think it's going to have a completely different perspective, because the way it's going to perceive what goes on around it is going to be so alien to us. Because, you know, you have eyes, ears, tongue, you touch things with your hands. This thing's getting information from IR sensors and rangefinders and freaking radar. I mean, the difference in perspective is going to be so different. I mean, I don't... the machine religion, I don't know. the one true resistor. You know, I don't think we're going to see the robots from Futurama anytime soon. I think it's going to be... I don't know what it's going to be. It's going to be completely alien, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, we won't know what it's going to be until it's here. But I don't think it's anything we need to worry about. Because at least at this stage, I believe we're developing it to do something. So it's going to attempt to do whatever that thing is the best it can do. Now... The only reason I question sticking in something military right now is the military's purpose is to break shit and kill people. And it's going to design, the machine's going to think, okay, what's the best way to break shit and kill people? I don't know if it's going to determine, we shouldn't kill that person.
Well, I mean, it's not like it's going to be raised in a religious household, or it's, you know, going to be taught from when it was 5 years old on that, you know, killing is wrong, or that it watched certain cartoons growing up and now is an environmentalist. I mean, because it's going to be basically born, if they're mass-produced, get a, you know, a disc image Xeroxed into it that tells it what its core behaviors are, and then, you know, thrown on the packaging line. Hell, we might get something more akin to Toy Story than anything. I figured that would have gotten a response from somebody. Okay, well, never mind.
Ooh, he's been chosen. All hail Claw.
There you go.
Okay, I tried. It's been a while since I've watched those.
Oh, I haven't seen them forever. I just remember the toys thinking that they were real.
But oh, I know this has been used in voice analysis for a while. Like any of the talking softwares, Dragon Speech, whatever, the talk type.
Yeah. They do.
They found that's a better way of teaching it the way humans speak, because there's a million ways of saying A, there's a million ways of writing an A. It's better just to feed it enough that it can pick out the pattern and say, okay, that's close enough, this is an A. Or, this guy's from the fucking South, he's trying to say this.
No. Alright, let's...
Huh? Just one other thing, like as an inverse correlation to that, if they can determine that, like this guy's from the South, imagine the sample size that they have of voice analysis from all these different people using their voice services on their devices.
Oh,
yeah. I bet you they could like really come up with some algorithms that could probably determine like where somebody grew up and stuff like that just from listening to their voice.
So we probably see you lived in West Virginia for 2 years, then in Kentucky for 6 years, and now that you're currently living in Florida, I don't know.
Reason their sample size is so large, even though Google and Microsoft and Apple are competitors, they actually cooperate when it comes to voice software, and there's a few... people that are just developing free versions of it that dump their libraries out there?
Well, I mean, there's it's such a new development field that right now they feel it's more beneficial just to share their data.
Yep, so they're helping all their products get a little better, at least when it comes to voice recognition.
All right, let's move on here. Next article is from Ars Technica. Vigilante botnet is infecting Internet of Things devices before black hats can do it. Which I just think is funny. It's always great when you see this kind of stuff where somebody's tried to write a botnet to go out and clean up so the other botnets can't, kind of bullshit. Mirai, the botnet that threatened the internet as we knew it last year with a record-setting denial-of-service attack, is facing an existential threat of its own. A competing botnet known as Hajime has infected at least 10,000 home routers, network-connected cameras, and other so-called Internet of Things devices. Hajime uses a decentralized peer-to-peer network to issue commands and updates to infected devices. This design makes it more resilient to take down by ISPs and internet backbone providers. Hajime uses the same list of username and password combinations that Mirai uses, with the addition of two more. It also takes steps to conceal its running processes and files, a feature that makes detecting the infected systems more difficult. Most interesting of all, Hajime appears to be the brainchild of a gray hat hacker, as evidenced by the cryptographically signed message it displays every 10 minutes or so on terminals. The message reads, "Just a white hat securing some systems. Important messages will be signed like this. Hajime offer. Contact closed. Stay sharp." Another sign Hajime is a vigilante-style project intended to disrupt Mirai and similar IoT botnets. It blocks access to four ports known to be vectors used to attack many IoT devices. Hajime also lacks distributed denial-of-service capabilities or any other attack code except for the propagation code that allows one infected device to seek out and infect other vulnerable devices. Hajime is not the first botnet to show signs of its mission to take out poorly secured internet devices. 2 weeks ago, researchers uncovered IoT malware they dubbed BickerBot. BickerBot gets its name because it attempts to damage routers and other internet-connected appliances so badly that they become effectively inoperable or bricked. In 2015, researchers from security provider Symantec exposed YFATCH, a piece of Linux malware that worked in the same way Hajime does. Temptation is to applaud Hajime for its and its companions because they take aim at the internet scourges, but in a blog post Tuesday, Symantec engineer Waylon Grange made a compelling case why that assessment would be misguided. He wrote, "The problem with these white worms is that they usually turn out to have a short lifespan, and that is because their efforts are only temporary. On a typical IoT system affected by these worms, the changes made to improve the security are only in RAM and are not persistent. Once the device is rebooted, it goes back into its unsecured state, complete with default passwords and telnet open to the world. To having a lasting effect, the firmware would need to be updated. It is extremely difficult to update the firmware on a large scale because the process is unique to each device and in some cases not possible without physical access." So, anyways, he goes on with some more explanation of why this is a bad idea. I don't know that I don't think that it's a great idea. Not because their intentions are wrong. I think the intentions are good with this, where they think, well, I'm just going to release a botnet that's just going to go out and fix everything so that these bad guy botnets can't do anything. And they said the code doesn't have anything in it except just the propagation code. But all it takes is somebody taking that code apart and going, oh, here's how you propagate. Well, let me just add my payload, and now we're going to call this botnet the fuck you botnet. And I now know how to release a botnet because you gave me example code. And then they drop it out on the internet, and, you know, now we have another one.
Yeah.
So, because IoT devices don't patch the way regular desktop and laptop computers and cell phones do. Usually most people ignore that there's updates. Okay, how often do people update their routers? How often do people update their printers? How often do you update, your air conditioner panel? It's not that fucking often that people think to do it.
How many air conditioner panels can be upgraded right now? I know they're becoming more common, but I've been in a house that has an Internet of Things other than the one you had after you stuck in your security system.
Yeah, I had one, but I've read several people who've made their own out of a Raspberry, but Nest sells them. Hell, there's a couple of people selling them now, but Nest is the one I knew about. Trying to think, I've seen them in stores. I mean, they're fairly common. Newer homes, upscale homes, but so you can do the whole control the air conditioner from your phone thing.
Yeah.
So.
But I like think goalie. It's a cool story with the whole Ghost in the Shell release the vaccine aspect of it. But the problem I have, I still don't like the idea of something I own running code I did not personally approve of, even if the code is there to help me.
Go ahead, Arya.
I just say I'm really enjoying the amount of people who are installing internet-enabled doorbells.
Oh, the cameras.
Yeah.
Those things can't be secure. How many people are you looking at?
Wave to me, madman.
Oh, so you can see that I have pizza delivered.
Most of them aren't. I haven't got any security on them whatsoever.
And that's kind of the point. Go ahead, Swan.
You know, like, there's some scarier ones, too. Like, it's just actually, before I talk about this, are you doing anything about a stove in a later article?
A stove?
Okay, no.
Don't believe
So, apparently somebody just found out a vulnerability in an AGA range cooker. And, they can basically just send it a message to like turn on elements or like turn on all the elements at maximum or whatever. So imagine like somebody has something like a bag of bread or something like that sitting on their stove in the morning or whatever. All of a sudden this is like a remote arson device.
I could see that just because I know a lot of people that after they fry like some bacon or something, there's just a skillet of bacon fat on their stove for maybe a day or two.
So imagine how bad these botnets and viruses are now. Just give it a little while.
And, yeah, you got the house fire virus, and
if this is anything like what's been going on with broadcasting murders and shit.
Well, good news, Cycros. I don't think pilot lights can actually be turned off on anything that has them.
No, I think that's what he's saying to do before you leave for the day, so that somebody doesn't hack into your stove. And
if you could turn on gas and turn off pilot light, what you're doing is asphyxiating anything in the house.
I'm with Major on this one. No, fuck that. I'm not having an internet-enabled stove. I can't think of any time ever I would be at work going, you know what? Turn stove on. You know, because...
You don't want it properly preheated for when you want to cook when you get home?
No, there was a little thing I learned back years and years ago when I was a kid. Don't light fires and fucking walk away from them. They tend to get bigger.
That's actually not what the purpose of the internet stove is. The idea is that you hook it up to your phone and you download recipes onto the phone, and so it'll turn the range off for you and maintain proper temperature while it's cooking. So you just say, I'm making this, and I've put it in the pot, and then the app turns the stove on, cooks it, and turns it off when it's done. Which, if you're going through all the trouble of putting shit in the stove,
cooking and stirring.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I just see this as not something I'm ever going to really need in my life. 10 years from now, I may come back and go, hey, guys, I just installed internet stove. Fucking how stupid was I not getting one?
This thing is amazing. I've always wanted to see my email coming out of the flames of the gas stove.
Okay, if they could do magic fire like that, that would actually be pretty epic. I wouldn't have it, reading my email, because it would be too Cthulian. But now, some type of summoning for a demon that I find on the internet? That's going to be played in my oven while it's making an apple pie. It's going to be sacrilegious as hell. I mean, sacrilegious as hell.
I think we just found our new business plan.
What, LED screen inside the LED laser projector inside an oven so that it draws things on the door while you're cooking pie.
Well, no, like you can make those tubes that you put a speaker in one end and gas coming in the other, and like the vibrations from the speaker actually make the gas come out, kind of like a visualizer. So you just have one of those in the back of the oven, and you have like demonic chants coming out of the speaker, and then it'll look like fire is talking.
I want the fire to form words. I don't want an LED. Oh. I want flaming fucking words.
I'm just thinking Madman's going to end up accidentally summoning some Cthulian horror It's like, I was just trying to make gingerbread men. I don't understand.
Oh, no. It's not going to summon something. The gingerbread men are just going to hop out of the oven and try to cut my throat with a paring knife. I'm looking forward to this, kind of, actually.
You're wondering why your first dates don't go well.
This is why we don't discuss shit like this on my first date, and also why I'm never going to have an internet-enabled stove, because this can't happen.
So, yeah, I don't know. The idea of a white hat botnet trying to clean things up, it's fun and all, but I don't think long-term, I don't think it's a good idea.
It's fun the same way that Punisher is fun. Everyone wants to do vigilante justice. The problem is, if you have vigilantism, you don't have justice.
Well, not only that, but you're still running your code on someone else's device, which means you're still being a jackass.
Yeah.
Fucking with other people's shit. So, anyways, let's see. Next article here is from the New York Post. Law enforcement officials can rifle through your private Facebook account without your knowledge, and there's nothing the social media giant can do about it. That was the ruling of New York's highest court in Tuesday when Facebook lost its years-long legal battle to block search warrants from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office seeking access to hundreds of user accounts. The 5-1 majority of the Court of Appeals reaffirmed two lower court rulings that said only users themselves, not Facebook, have the right to challenge warrants in criminal proceedings. And now here's the fun part. But in this case, the warrants are subject to a gag order, so Facebook is not allowed to warn users about the disclosure. Is that kangaroo court or what?
You can have one, but not both.
Well, like, it's no different than getting a warrant to get a phone tab. Like, you don't tell the person that you're tapping their phone.
No, you don't. But AT&T can challenge you tapping their network. They're saying Facebook can't challenge the warrant, and the one person that can challenge the warrant can't be told that they're getting the warrant. So it's like, if I show up and say, "Hi, AT&T, I need to put this tap on your trunk line so I can listen to all of New York City," AT&T can say, "Fuck off and die, I'll see you in court." And then they get to go to court. The judge is saying...
They got a search warrant for somebody's house. You can't, like, if they show up at your front door with a search warrant, you can't be like, "No, I challenged this."
Oh, yes, you can. Now, they still get to come in your house. But when you challenge the warrant, everything that they seize... let's say they have a warrant to search my house for... a pound of blow. Mm-hmm. So they search my house for a pound of blow, but they don't find a pound of blow. And somehow I fit the body of a dead hooker in an envelope that a pound of blow could not fit in. And they find the dead hooker. I can challenge the validity of their warrant on the dead hooker because they weren't looking for a dead hooker and they looked in a place where the pound of blow would not have fit. Similarly, with Facebook, they could use the warrant, but I would be able to challenge that warrant in court. They're saying I can't challenge the warrant, or the person that can know about the warrant can't challenge the warrant, and I can't be notified of them having the warrant. With the searching of my house, I'm notified they have the warrant when they show up at my house with the warrant to search it.
So you wouldn't actually get to challenge it till you were already in court.
That's the way challenging any warrant works. Well, almost any warrant works.
So it sounds like you'd still be able to challenge it. Like, let's say they got a warrant from a judge to go look because they thought you were doing drugs, and they found out you like to have sex with dogs instead. And they took you to court for the dog one, and you should be able to challenge that in court because they weren't looking for that, right?
Well, the problem here is that it opens the door to phishing expeditions because there's no challenge to them doing it unless they decide to take somebody to court and they challenge the warrant, which 90% of people aren't going to do because they don't know that they can. And if they've built all this evidence and all this case based on what they got initially off that warrant, even if you challenge and get the Facebook warrant thrown out, well, if they've got all this other stuff they got because they knew to you know, because they were able to put two and two together. Once, you know, they saw your Facebook account, they were able to use that to go get other stuff. They can then prosecute you and convict you using evidence that they probably wouldn't have gotten if they didn't have the original warrant from Facebook. But they're going to argue that this stuff wasn't related to that warrant, so therefore, you know, I mean, you end up in legal circles really quickly.
And I guess it really boils down to how are these warrants getting authorized? Like, is it going through a judge like any other warrant? Are these judges just rubber stamping them?
I think let me keep going in the article here. I think it says something about it. Facebook has not given up, saying the case addresses unresolved issues about online privacy. Company might be our Supreme Court. Continue to evaluate our options. Experts for Facebook, Zuckerberg have lawyers ask for a hearing. These issues are important for social media platforms and their users, so I'd expect there to be a certain Centauri petition by Facebook to give serious Facebook wants to take it up to Supreme Court. Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance Jr. sought the search warrants in 2013 for accounts of 381 people in connection with a disability benefits fraud case against New York Police Department and New York Fire Department retirees. More than 100 people have been convicted in the scam so far. They claimed they were too sick to work in order to get benefits, then posted photos of themselves on social media platforms like Facebook and such activities such as jet skiing and sports fishing. Whoops. Facebook challenged the sealed warrants in 2015. Earlier this year, the company argued before the Court of Appeals that DA demands for information from hundreds of private accounts was unprecedented. The DA's ultimate position was that the case is chilling, or in this case was chilling. Under his view, he could seize the entire digital lives of everyone in New York City, Facebook attorney Thomas Dupree Jr. said in February. While the Court of Appeals acknowledged that the case undoubtedly impacts novel and important extensive issues regarding constitutional rights of privacy and freedom from unreasonable search and seizure, the majority found that they were constrained by current law that bars appeals by third party. So, yeah, you wouldn't know that they've been searching your Facebook data until they took you to court.
I don't know if I agree that Facebook is a third party in this instance.
Well, I mean, didn't the agreement with Facebook say that they basically own everything you post?
Yes.
I haven't looked at the EULA in a long time because I don't really use Facebook.
Ooh, if Facebook owned everything you post, does that make them complicit in any crime you post?
You'd have to read the EULA, but I would argue yes.
Probably. Well, they probably got some clause in there saying that they didn't. They can't be held responsible, blah, blah, blah.
Placing illegal things on here violates our EULA. Shit like that.
So.
I see the issue as something similar that's already happening with FISA warrants called parallel investigations. This happened prior to the loosening of sharing of data between different agencies in the U.S. through FISA warrants, but it's probably going to get worse after this happened. But previously, let's say the NSA got some information on you because, I don't know, you talked to a Canadian.
God forbid.
God forbid, but it does open you up to getting a FISA warrant. Unless the Canadian's in the same room with you. We're going to assume the Canadian's in Canada.
Damn it, Suave.
We also have an Australian.
Okay, Australian. Throw that out. Whatever, there. International.
Technically, they're connecting to my server, so we're not communicating internationally. We're communicating to a server in our data center, which is in Chicago, if I remember correctly. So, yeah, we're not the ones communicating internationally.
That's not going to fly. Sorry, Morps.
I'm going to keep that in mind in case we ever get subpoenaed.
I want to see the 12 people of your peers that you're going to get in the courtroom to understand this, okay?
There are not 12 people who I would consider my peers. I'm like that one strip in Yosemite. I am unprosecutable. Because I don't think they could build an appropriate jury of my peers.
Nice.
That's my argument.
But we've had this come up with FISA warrants where data the NSA got, they would give to, let's say, the FBI or a local sheriff. Both instances have happened. Now, those two investigative authorities can't use the data directly, but they now know where to follow a person, and then they follow them until they get probable cause on something else, and then... build a case from that without informing anyone that they originally got information from the NSA.
They'll say it's a confidential informant.
Oh, no, it's not a confidential informant. They'll say, well, we were following this drug dealer and he made a bad right-hand turn on a whatever light or swerved, so we stopped him during a routine traffic stop and found 18 tons of marijuana or whatever the fuck. So they're completely leaving out any news that we followed this guy.
How did they fit 18 tons of marijuana in a Subaru?
I'd have to pull up the actual stories dealing with it, but it's been reported a few times on NPR and a few different investigations where this has actually come out after a trial. Some rather zealous defense attorneys were actually able to track down evidence of this happening. So it's already been an issue, at least with FISA warrants.
Oh, I'm sure. And that, you know, like, FISA warrants are a whole other can of worms, like, basically having this blank check pretty much to look at whatever crosses the border. In a digital age, that's pretty much everything.
I see this is something similar where they're not going to tell you about the Facebook warrant because they don't need to, but they've already got leads from Facebook and they're going to use those to legitimately, well, use those in such a way where they apparently legitimately get other leads that would trace them to you for whatever crime they're attempting to prosecute you for.
Either way, you're all
honestly
fucked.
Like, I think the root of this entire issue is like, how are these warrants authorized? And like, they should be going through due process, and if they're not, like, I think that's the problem. Like, I think that the police departments and everything should have the resources to, like, if they think somebody's they have like actual reason to believe that, you know, a crime's going on somewhere, they should be able to get a warrant to, like, you know, tap phones or whatever other tools they need.
I believe they should get the warrants.
They should be doing dragnets and, like, just checking random people for, you know, just in case.
The real problem I have with the concept here is not that they're getting a warrant and going to Facebook. It's that this could be ripe for abuse. Because you'd never know that they were investigating your Facebook account. And it, you know, if they never actually did anything in a legal system, like they never brought a case against you, you'd never know it was done. So, you know, we know for a fact that, because the NSA published it, that they had employees who were looking shit up in, I forget what the database was called, the phone monitoring database. They were checking up on, you know, ex-girlfriends and family and relatives and basically snooping. And they got caught doing it, and nothing really came of it, but, you know, their employees were abusing all these monitoring systems. So it's not that hard of a stretch to think that if they can go in, and as long as they never bring a case against you, you'd never know about it, dig through your social media account, you know, it's not that hard of a stretch to think that that could be happening. So...
For all those who defended by going, well, you know, you didn't know it was happening, so no harm, no foul. A lot of Bill Cosby's fucking rape victims didn't know what happened to them. Just saying.
Well, I just think one of two things need to happen with this. Either Facebook needs to be allowed to challenge the warrant, and then whatever, you've presented the warrant to whomever it's being served on and they're challenging it, or whoever your warrant is for has to be able to be informed that there's a warrant. That solves the problem.
Yeah, and you know, ultimately the correct answer is don't post incriminating evidence to Facebook.
Thank you, Mops.
And if these were public profiles, they didn't need a warrant anyway.
That's true. You know, and if you are you know, maybe lying to the government, claiming you're crippled up in a wheelchair, you probably want to maintain that presentation through anything that's public. So pictures of yourself skydiving and jet skiing without the wheelchair might, you know, that falls under don't post incriminating evidence.
And if you are pulling fraud like that, just kill yourself. Yeah, just go ahead and kill yourself.
I want to strap skis to a wheelchair now.
Been done. Dude, vacation care 5 years ago.
So, let's continue the Facebook trend. This is from The Verge. Facebook today unveiled a project from its secretive Building 8 research group that's working on... Oh, wait. Let's do this right. Building 8 research group... computer interface that lets you type with your thoughts, because you know that's what you want. You want to be working on that Facebook post and go, man, her ass looks great, as somebody walks by you in the coffee shop, right?
My balls
right
are itchy.
In the middle of your post you're writing to your mom. That's what you want.
My eyes and scratch my balls.
I want to put this thing on and go to sleep.
So oh, there you go. Regina Duncan, a former director of DARPA and ex-head of Google's experimental ATAP research group, announced the news today on stage at Facebook's F8 developer conference. Duggan, who now heads up Building 8, says the goal is something as simple as a yes-no brain click that could fundamentally change how we interact and use technology. So, you know, that initial first impulse for yes-no, you know, before you have a chance to decide whether you're going to lie to the computer... That's what they want to read, so they get a real impulse response, not what you want to answer.
Are you over the age of 18?
Yeah.
I'll pass.
While it does not exist today, outside of some very specific medical research trials, Duggan says their team's actively working to make it a reality. Duggan says the technology as a brain mouse for AR could mean an ideal way to receive input directly from neuron activity that would remove the need for augmented reality devices to track hand motions and other body movements. For instance, the Microsoft HoloLens uses hand tracking to let you tap your finger in front of you as if you were clicking a mouse. Facebook's theoretical device could also be used for patients with severe paralysis, acting as a speech prosthetic. Well, hell, if you got them doing speech prosthetic, why don't you go full on Ghost in the Shell? I mean, come on. Duggan stresses that it's not about invading your thoughts, an important disclaimer, given the public's anxiety over privacy and Facebook. It's about decoding words you've already decided to share by sending them to the speech center of your brain. Think of it like this. You may take photos and choose to share only some of them. Similarly, you may have many thoughts and only choose to share some of them. So they're saying it's not gonna read everything in your brain, but you gotta think. The way your brain works, these impulses are gonna come up, and the machine's likely going to read them anyways. So, you know, the whole concept of drunk texting or drunk posting. I mean, imagine that, you know, being a little tipsy and not being quite in control of your faculties and using one of these things.
Giving them the ability to, like, just even get, like, some surface things off of your brain like that, like yes or no or positive or negative or something like that. Like, just imagine if they are actually, like, recording this back to their servers so they can literally see, like, as you're scrolling down a page, if you like a post or whatever. And, you know, like, they've already shown they're totally happy to just experiment on, like, the emotional state of their users and stuff. So this just gives them a whole other level of information gathering and control.
Well, actually, you know, Major, that's a really good point, because you think about it, the amount of computing horsepower it's going to take to the EKG machine, your average cell phone's not going to have. Though, they're probably going to do with this like you do with Siri and Google Voice and whatever the Samsung one is, and Cortana, where, you know, it doesn't do the processing on your local hardware. It shoots it off onto a cloud, you know, for whoever happens to own the digital assistant. So Facebook is just going to send those EKG readings up to their cloud to process, to figure out what it is, and then send the results back down to your client.
Oh, to bring this back kind of to the last story, wait till the cops play with it. So, did you touch her in a bad place?
No.
No. Always take no on that one is your first response.
One thing that, like, you know, I kind of like that people are developing, like, neural reading technology, because that's something that really needs some work before it's going to be usable. So, you know, for that aspect of things, I'm kind of okay with them working on it, as long as, you know, that tech actually gets out there. Definitely not going to buy it from Facebook, and whatever I'm going to use is going to be, like, you know, offline. But, like, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, for VR, like, that would be awesome, because, like, I know that they can detect, like, if you think about moving your leg or if you actually move your leg, like, it actually makes a very similar brain pattern. So imagine just, like, sitting in a chair and literally, like, controlling this virtual character just by thinking about moving it. And because you have that visual feedback, it'll really feel like you're actually, like, moving a body around. I think that'll be cool.
So what you're saying is... I mean, because if you, yeah, you'd have to do the wires thing, but yeah, I can just see now the people on Facebook, or they've got the EKG meter strapped on and the Oculus headset strapped, and they're suspended from the ceiling so they can move their limbs around without, interfering with the real world.
You don't have to move your limbs, you just have to think about moving your limbs.
Yeah, but that would take training and effort, and I kind of want to see the whole wires thing. I think that's
using a mouse or a keyboard takes training and effort too.
It does,
but you're missing the. I want the visual aspect of people being suspended.
We're not letting you have it.
Damn it!
How do you figure that out? It's not happening.
It's not practical.
But it's creepy. astral projection.
Don't go your
way. It would be astral projection into Facebook. God help you.
Oh dear Jesus. It would just remind me of the episode of Futurama where they go into the internet, just fucking ads flying at them.
All right, let me search the internet. Put your hand over your eyes. Look around.
That might be slightly better than going to the Second Life, though. Who wants to walk through a field of waving penises?
Well, depending
on
who you ask.
Don't rush me.
There might be people interested in that kind of thing.
Oh, I bet there are people interested in that and many, many more things, Morps.
I think we knew a few of them in Second Life who were quite happy when that happened.
Did we skip the medical devices or the next security nightmare?
I didn't post that
show night. Schedule.
Oh, okay, never mind.
That was somebody trying to invade the show.
Ah.
And then giving up, I guess, because we weren't paying any attention. Next one up, credit card with fingerprint sensor revealed by MasterCard. The rollout follows, or a payment card featuring a fingerprint sensor has been unveiled by credit card provider MasterCard. The rollout follows, this is from BBC. Rollout follows two successful trials in South Africa. The technology works the same way it does with mobile phone payments. Users just must have their finger over the sensor when making a purchase. Security experts have said that using fingerprint is not foolproof. It is a sensible use of biotechnology or biometric technology. MasterCard's chief of security or safety and security, AJ Bahala, said that the fingerprint technology would help to deliver additional convenience and security. It's not something that can be taken or replicated. Bullshit, it's not something that can be taken or replicated.
Oh, I can take your thumb, dude. Your thumb is fucking mine if I needed to get your money.
You want a toe, Donnie? I can get you a toe.
I think I'm with the pinking shiz, Billy.
Not only that, I mean, you can get people's fingerprints when you're mugging them. All you got to do is, push their hand into some silly putty.
Yeah,
be kind of weird at
long.
First, but, hey.
Fingerprints are your life.
If your card ever gets stolen or your information gets stolen and somebody does fraud or whatever, you got to reset all your passwords. So I guess that means you got to use a different finger. So is that event, like, let's say this happens to you 10 times, are you going to have to start using toes? Will it accept a nose print?
No, what you'll have to do is you'll have to go into the MasterCard Medical Center where they'll put your hands in a device to give you new fingerprints. And hopefully a gag to bite down on while you scream.
I wonder how they read your fingerprint on the card.
It looks like it's got the same sensor as like an iPhone or a cell phone. So
does that mean you have to like charge your credit card?
No, I would imagine that when it's plugged into the chip reader, that's where it's getting its power from. Because it's got that smart chip on it, not the card swipe.
Right.
From the look of the picture here.
I'm just thinking, like, how sensitive is this fingerprint scanner? Like, for the thickness of the card, are they going to have to be thicker now?
No, probably.
And if that, then it won't fit in a conventional wallet. This is just a way for the handbag stores to gouge the fuck out of people. I'm onto them.
Right. Here's the thing, though. Cards themselves are going to be going away soon. A lot of people are going for the whole tap their phone on the.
I don't think that's ever gonna catch on.
That always scares the shit out of me. I don't have any crap on my phone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never bothered to set one up either, but my phone beeps at me to do it about once a month. I had
0.001 bitcoins on my phone once.
Get a pizza.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, I don't want my phone shouting out, here's the credit card number! Here's the credit card number! At the top of its digital lungs.
Madman, it only radiates out 5 meters.
Yeah, a radius of 5 meters.
Yeah, Bitcoin's up to 1,246 at the moment. Damn.
Yeah, that's 1,700.
Would you say you had
0.1
of a Bitcoin? Dude, that's like $100.
Oh, yeah, and you know what? That 0.1 of a Bitcoin is gone forever. Because that phone got lost.
Oh, dude.
The amount of Bitcoin that's been lost.
Like, just like another reason not to keep that sort of crap on your phone.
And I need to go back to that idea we had a few years back of Bitcoin brute force the wallet keys. I mean, so many of them have been abandoned once you figure out the crypto. And I mean, if you're going to build a miner, you've got a hash tracking rig. I mean, it's what it is.
You're not wrong.
We now have a miner. We're just mining it in a different way.
That's right.
We're reclaiming lost Bitcoin.
Hey, it's just like reverse electroplating, Your Honor. Because that's how that shit's going to end up.
The next article is from Robo Reuters, or Reuters, or however we say it to piss Major off.
No, it pisses off RU.
Oh. Which way do we say it to make people mad?
Reuters. Call it Reuters.
Fuck you. It's Reuters.
See?
So, anyways, this is from that website. Bose Corp spied on its wireless headphone customers by using an app that tracks the music, podcasts, and other audio they listen to and violates their privacy rights by selling the information without permission, a lawsuit charged. So the reason this is a story is because, yes, Cycross, I saw that, but I forgot about it when I was putting the show notes together this morning, dude. Sorry. What were they? Yeah, I saw something about people hacking the Bitcoin wallets. Just not to drive him nuts during the show. Dude, I don't give a shit about misspelling, so as long as I can kind of suss out what you mean. Somebody's actually filed a lawsuit against Bose for this. I'm guessing the app, like, never said it's doing, you know, data collection or asked for permission or anything like that. The complaint filed on Tuesday by Kyle Zack in federal court in Chicago seeks an injunction to stop Bose's wholesale disregard for the privacy of its customers who downloaded the free Bose Connect app from Apple Inc. or Google Play stores onto their smartphone. People should be uncomfortable with it, Christopher Dore, a lawyer representing Zack, said in an interview. People put headphones on their head because they think it's private, but they can be giving out information they don't want to share. Bose did not respond on Wednesday to a request for comment in the proposed class action case. The Framingham, Massachusetts-based company has annual top sales of $3.5 billion. Zack's lawsuit was the latest to accuse the company of trying to boost its profit by quietly amassing customer information and then selling it or using it to solicit more business. After paying $350 for his Quiet Comfort 35 headphones, Zack said he took Bose's suggestion to get the most out of his headphones by downloading its app, providing his name, email address, and headphone serial number in the process. Then the Illinois resident was surprised to learn that Bose sent all available media information from his smartphone to third parties such as Segment.io. They're actually calling out the website it went to. Wow. Whose website promises to collect customer data and send it anywhere. There's a marketing campaign. Well, you just wherever, just ship it off.
This article brought to you by Sendit.io.
You need something sent? Okay, so
I've
just got two little bones with this guy, okay? $350 for a headset.
Yeah, no shit.
And then was surprised his shit was getting stolen. or taken and uploaded somewhere. $350 for a headset. You're not the brightest fucker around to start with. Just saying. $350. It's US, I take it, too.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Pays this little money for a headset.
Let me get the name of that article guy again. Because he did it.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking we could troll. We could get some more money out of that guy.
Depending on how this turns out, this could be a step towards you own all your information.
They'll settle before it ever goes to court, I bet.
I was just thinking, if it rules against those, that's a step towards
shut up.
I own my information. If you use it, you pay me. And that could limit the people distributing my information.
Well, yeah, if it goes and it, like, they actually set a precedent here, that would be amazing, just because like that would be like pretty much every single app on the App Store.
There's a lot
and
of
honestly, like, like this guy shouldn't be surprised. Like, obviously he doesn't realize, but like, you know, when I see like an app that doesn't need to be an app, I always wonder why the hell do they want this to be an app? Like, if there'll be like a website, like your banking website, and it works perfectly well on your phone. It's well designed. It's perfectly functional, does everything you need it to, but of course they need to have their app, and their app has like ridiculous permission requirements. Why do they need that? The website didn't need that.
Well, sometimes they make an app that's really nothing more than a wrapper for the mobile website, simply for marketing, just so it shows up in the Play Store, shows up as an icon on the screen. But you're right, a lot of times it's not just wrapping the mobile website, it's its own thing, and that's, you know, probably so they can do data collection of some sort, or get a presence on the phone so that they can do something later.
Yeah,
you know, put out an update that changes what it does.
So, at least on banking, if it's their own app and not using the browser on the phone directly, they might be making a more secure interface.
That's a possibility. I said
nope.
Possible.
No. Not, certainly not with my bank, anyways. I know they're still, like, they. I don't think they've updated their computer systems, like, back-end computer systems in, like, oh, I don't know, 30 years.
Still running on the old AS400, I take it? Not an IBM Power emulating an AS400, an actual AS400.
yeah, they have services where you literally can't choose, like, special characters in your passwords and stuff like that still.
Oh, it's too warm.
It makes me sad.
Yeah. Yeah. He just suggested that it might be running OS 2. Like, yes.
No. Yeah, a lot it's of still doing COBOL. It's doing COBOL, my friends.
Yeah. Or Fortran. Could be doing Fortran. You never know. Anyways, the last article is from our Bastion of Truth.
Truth Bomb Alert.
From, you know, motherboard.vice news, the FBI says it can finally find hackers who don't smoke weed.
What the fuck?
Smoke weed every day.
The agency says it's managing to meet its hiring goals despite a ban on hiring anyone who's used marijuana within the last 3 years. The most recent election cycle was a big win for marijuana advocates, with 8 states leading legalizing medicinal or recreational marijuana. Indeed, in the lead-up to the election, polls showed that a solid 60% of Americans favored total legalization of cannabis. Yet the DEA doubled down on its commitment to keep cannabis a Schedule I drug last fall, allowing federal agencies, including the FBI, to continue to discriminate against job candidates who've puffed the magic dragon. Really?
What's his name?
Yeah, what's the guy's name who wrote this? Daniel Oberhaus. Puffed the magic dragon. Dude, sounds like
facing
something else.
Facing the dragon is smoking heroin.
It's
yeah, cocaine's fine, heroin's fine, but weed in your system? No FBI for you.
The FBI told Motherboard that despite this policy, it has been able to hire the number of cyber experts it needs. That comes 3 years after the Wall Street Journal first reported the agency considered loosening the restrictions, and FBI James Coney implied he was having a hard time finding talented cyber specialists who hadn't smoked weed recently. But after taking heat from anti-marijuana crusader Jeff Sessions, Comey later backtracked and said he was just making it funny.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Come on, guys, just kidding.
Asked about his anti-weed hiring policy this week, an FBI spokesperson told Motherboard via email that the FBI will continue to have high hiring standards, which include a complete background investigation and drug test. While the spokesperson didn't comment on the justification for the policy, they did clarify that the rule also pertains to those who legally use marijuana as a medicine. Any THC in your system in the last 3 years, legal or otherwise, and that's a no-go for the Bureau. So I'm tired of reading this because of the terrible puns. But basically, the FBI has published that, oh no, they've met their hiring goals, even though they don't hire people who smoke weed. So,
like,
I don't think that's going to be too big of a problem.
Not really.
Here's a question. Is this just because it's around 420, so they had to frame this around weed?
Yeah.
I'm assuming this is going to be for, like, all drugs, hey? Like, if you've done any drugs in the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah, cocaine, illicitly, heroin, anything.
Anything that you can, absolutely.
You can
throughout this entire article, and they're literally just talking about marijuana, and they framed it in such a way that it's like, oh, they'll reject anybody who smoked pot, but, you know, everything else, whatever.
Well, they're framing it that way because there's one issue weed has that a lot of Schedule Ones don't have anymore. It's still, no state's going to let me snort cocaine in a bar, but there are a few that'll let me smoke weed, even though both of them are equally illegal.
Yeah, but the bartender's not picking up your fucking cardiac arrest fat ass off the ground after you've done one too many fucking lines, dude.
I know
that's
my limits.
That's about.
I know my fucking limits. I'm not going to go Belushi on anyone.
Okay, but that's that. I think that's the big difference between someone having a green out in the fucking in the bathroom to some fucking, you know, anorexic coke whore who's fucking OD'd at the end of the bar because she's done a couple of lines of fucking K.
But like,
guys, I didn't read the whole article. I read like the first paragraph, primarily because I thought the headline was funny because it's 420.
Right.
You want to do weed? Shit, really. Oh,
but like, you know, okay. So in the United States, federally, marijuana is still illegal, right?
Yeah, it's a Schedule I drug,
which makes it illegal in all 50 states.
This is the Federal Bureau of Investigation, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
So they're basically asking you, hey, have you broken the law? Yep, okay. No thanks.
Well, it's kind of like the background check when you go to buy a handgun. It's like, are you a fugitive from justice? Yes.
Like, I think it's a perfectly reasonable ban for like anything illegal. For a law enforcement agency.
It is. But a couple of years ago, the Wall Street Journal published an article saying the FBI was claiming they couldn't hire enough cybersecurity experts because they all kept testing positive for weed.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that story too because I asked you, is this a follow up to it? But, I mean, I think it's I don't know. If you're not waking and baking, if you're actually going to work, come home and you have a couple of bongs like you'd have a couple of beers, I don't see an issue with it. But if you're toking up on the way to fucking the office in the car, maybe you need to really reassess what your fucking life is.
Yeah, come on, don't smoke and drive. You should toke up before you get in the car.
Or at least pull over to a rest area. No, you know what I mean, though. That's the kind of thing I'm trying to get to here, that, yeah, weed, degenerate murder drug, but it's not really that much difference to having a couple of beers. You're impaired either way.
Oh, no, so, I'm not arguing weed.
It would be the same as, like, we don't hire anyone who drinks alcohol here.
Good luck. You
know. On that one, there is a difference. Alcohol is legal. So you're not breaking.
No, I know, Madman, but it's the exact same. If someone's chugging a 40 on the way to work on the I-90 at fucking 8 a.m., I think they got the same problem as a dude who's toking on weed.
Oh, yeah, that's the same problem as far as your work ethic and the problem you're having with your life.
Yeah.
So just for clarification here, Madman, you know that giant flask you were showing off?
Oh, yes.
I found them on Amazon. I have one ordered. I'm going to be stenciling incident response policy on the side, and that's going on my desk at work.
Nice.
It,
I don't think an IT department could function without bourbon at this point.
I was reading an article, and it was about Fortune 500 companies and day brokers who are microdosing LSD.
Yeah, they were saying it you know, gives them an edge.
Yeah. I don't know. It needs to be another discussion had, again, like a sensible, rational discussion of what to do with scheduled drugs in the Western world.
We should just gather up all the drugs in the entire country and just burn them all in a giant fire.
That would end so well for anyone near that fire.
Oh, contact high. Massive.
The rush towards that fire would be a stampede of people trying to get to it. There really does need to be a serious discussion about scheduled drugs and working. Because I'm a firm believer you can take scheduled drugs as recreational, like on the weekend, if you're not hurting yourself or others.
It's no different than drinking. You know, you don't get drunk on the job.
Well, no. I mean, how many of us drink regularly and don't make an issue out of it? It doesn't affect our job. It doesn't affect anything. It's just something for fun.
Yeah. And, let's be real here. Like, I'm sure it's affected everybody's job a little bit. Like, you have maybe end up having to go to work hungover one day or something. But you
still
do
that
job.
Once.
And it's...
Because they made me stand out in the sun for 5 hours on a jackhammer without water. You'll never go to work. Hungover again. Most people know I've taken quite a few substances and worked at the same time. And yeah, as long as you're not taking them before you go to work and you're not spending your entire weekend recovering from one night on a Friday because you've just blown your fucking brains out on fucking speed and coke.
Yeah, you gotta do one at a time.
Yeah, don't do both.
It's like the instant coffee and the Coca-Cola there, right? I mean, you don't do it.
What you want to do is a hot, nice shot of meth there and then hit the heroin so you get the nods and the fucking highs at the same time.
I put 5-hour energy
attack.
Drink through my Keurig. And I'm fairly certain I can see time.
Don't mix uppers and downers. That's a heart attack.
That's Thursday night, madman.
I do want to see the DEA pop a marijuana dispensary in California, though. I'm just getting a hard-on waiting for it.
All right. Yo! Alright, for Digital Dojo, got two links tonight. The first is an article on automatingosint.com, which is actually pretty good. I was playing around with this setup myself earlier today. Had quite a bit of false positives with it, truthfully, but that's not really the script's a little bit on the simple side, so I'm going to be refining my own installation of it. But it is a article on building a Python-based pastebin and T-Rex keyword alert system, pretty much. T-Rex is a Python project that's specifically for searching multiple search engines and getting the results back programmatically, although it does have a web interface. It's got an API, which is much more useful. So it'll go out and search, you know, like 30 different search engines or something like that. And it also removes a bunch of the tracking. So if you set up T-Rex on your own machine, you can do a lot of Googling, and all that stuff doesn't get tracked back to you. It just goes back to whatever box is running it. And, of course, pastebin searching. So we'll go out and monitor pastebin for anything new that's come up with keywords in it. Fairly simple to set up, really, especially if you just download his Python script and make a few edits to it rather than typing it in, as he suggests in the article, as he's explaining how Python works. But if you don't really know Python all that well, it's probably a good idea to actually run through the script in the article. I just pulled it down and read it, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's fine. So I did have to make a few edits to it just for my own systems, though. No big deal. But pretty much it'll monitor for things showing up in search engines, things showing up in pastebin, and give you an email alert when one of your keywords is triggered. So unfortunately, I've discovered, at least on my real name, it false positives a lot, Because, you know, as we've stated before, my first name is the most common name in the world and the name they give to corpses that they can't identify. So, unfortunately, I was getting a bunch of shit alerts. But, yeah, I'm going to be playing with the script trying to clean up some of that. But, anyways, it's a good setup. It's worth looking into. And I hadn't heard of the CRX project before, so that was an interesting find just in and of itself. So, I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on monitoring systems out there for keywords?
Yeah, you know, things like this, I'm always a little bit leery, because like, it's like you basically have to put in all the things that you'd be worried about getting out there into this program for it to search, and then it would be hitting all these search engines with this information.
Well, not necessarily.
So you're kind of like,
you can be clever about it. Like, if you're watching for your usernames, well, okay, yeah, there's not much you can do about that. But if you're looking for your passwords, and your passwords are sufficiently complex, maybe you just find a random string of characters that happens to be in the password, but is not the total thing, that you don't have to put that out there. Or true. Maybe even the same thing with your usernames, or, you know, look for phrases in your keywords that are close to what you care about. But yeah, you absolutely have a valid point. You're putting everything you care about in one place, and if somebody ever gets into it, there's everything you care about. So, so you do want to be considerate with what you're putting keyword searches out there for.
Okay, so I was about to say, if you searched for your full name, I don't think you'd get a lot of hits. You have some outliers there that narrow it down a bit.
Really, Madman? We'll talk off air. But yeah, there's you would think that. And then the final thing I have for tonight, which is just hilarious, is a GitHub link. They put out a custom patch of the DLL that looks and sees what CPU you have for Microsoft blocking updates on Windows 7 if you happen to have a newer model CPU. And they published a patch to take that check out so that you can still install Windows updates if you haven't updated to Windows 10 on... damn it, Cykros! Shut up! Figured out my last name! Anyways, so when Microsoft, we talked about it last week, or 2 weeks ago, said that, yeah, we're not going to do updates on Windows 7 and Windows 8 if you have a latest generation Intel or Ryzen AMD processor. Yeah, this patch takes that check out, so you can still run Windows 7 with modern hardware. I'm just wondering how much of this stuff you're going to see where people are hacking up the older operating systems to keep them running because they don't want to install Windows 10 and all the monitoring that comes with it.
You know, at some point, it's just
compare two different patches so you can find that line of code and just auto remove it whenever you update from there.
Interestingly enough, that is how a lot of malware authors look for what was patched, is just comparing the patches and before and after. So that may be what they did.
Oh, malware author. I thought this was Microsoft realizing they were stupid and undoing it.
No, this is somebody doing a custom patch to the operating system so that you can still install Microsoft updates on, you know, despite what Microsoft wanted.
Oh, that's cool. And I was about to say, oh, so people's opinions matter. And now I'm being crushed again.
No, they don't. No, the page actually scolds Microsoft and explains what they did to... it and has links to where you can download it and the list of updates supported by this patch. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how many custom patches you start seeing in the older operating systems to keep them working. I mean, at some point you just give up and run Linux, right? But
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It depends on what you're running and how much of your other programs need Windows.
That's true. There's, you know, it, not so much in general purpose computing. If you're doing Office and web work, yeah, Linux will do everything Windows does. If you're wanting to play games, it's a little bit harder to do the latest generation stuff, but Wine runs a lot of the older stuff without a problem. And you are seeing more and more games port do a Linux port for the Steam Steambox thing. But there are several games that are coming out on Linux, so you can game on Linux, but it's when you get into the specialty software, you know, PLC programmers, you know, dealing with oddball controllers and parts, start getting into where whoever made the hardware only put out Windows stuff. And that's it. You know what I mean?
So, I was also thinking music and business apps. If you're running a business and you just have custom software that you don't want to pay someone to rebuild.
Yeah, no, that's true. And a lot of studio software runs on, although a lot of studios you can run on Mac, but I don't know that OS X is any better about the tracking anymore. So I don't know. But,
and Mac, you'd still have the problem of built-in obsolescence, wouldn't you?
Yeah, because Apple actually doesn't give a shit about breaking their older hardware. It's like, oh, yeah, I see your Mac is a few years out of date. You need to go buy a new one. Oh, you want to write an app?
You'd have the same problem that these guys are trying to get around with Windows.
That's true. That is true. And, yeah, you know, I mean, Wine really does run a lot, so I think you could make a serious effort to get on Linux and get most of your stuff moved over to Wine if you really wanted to. But it's a hard push to do, man, because at least for me, I got a lot of the audio stuff I do for Galaxy 15, and so a lot of that software only runs on Windows and doesn't run all that well in Wine, and it's like, man, I paid a lot of money for some of this software. I hate to just give it up to move over to Linux, you know? But virtual machines are getting better too, so if you've got the right hardware, you can usually do a VM for a lot of that stuff. So it's a trade-off.
If you're seriously looking, I guess you just have to shop for programs that are already working on Linux.
Yeah, yeah, and you know they absolutely can do that. It's you know, it's not that the stuff's not out there; it's just not as you find yourself in interesting situations with proprietary systems or specialty markets where they can be difficult to operate outside of that model. So, anyways, that's all I have for this week. Anybody have any closing thoughts before I? Well, I guess I should read this out. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Peer decking every Thursday, and of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site has an IRC window on it. The subreddit's probably the best place to get a hold of me for stuff like that. And that's all I've got. Anybody have anything before I hit the Pac-Man sound here?
Yeah, just look for Major's GoFundMe website coming up soon. He is going to be running for the local Lord Mayor as a pantomime horse.
True. I made it half the day without realizing the joke for 420.
Oh, fuck!
Smoke weed every day.